And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's going on, everybody? DJ Bucky here with you on Move the Sticks. Buck, first of all, hope everything is well with you and the family. We try and keep up with each other via text and phone calls during the week. It's been an interesting time in our country, to say the least, bud.
Yeah, it's been nuts. Just the dramatic shutdown, the quick turnaround, how everything has just kind of changed. And so for everyone who is kind of locked down, doing their best to make sure they keep themselves and their families safe and healthy, let's make sure we just adhere to what is being advised. Stay at home, kick in, pop in the Move Sticks podcast. We're going to keep you updated. We're going to try and provide you with enough content so you don't have to run around. But let's just make sure that everyone is being responsible so we don't spread the virus.
I echo everything that Buck just said right there. And I do want to say, Nabil, I'll give you a little homework assignment here, Nabil, the producer. Let's do an episode towards the end of the week. We're going to try and get some extra episodes to you this week because I know everybody's home and just looking for something here. Nabil, let's do a Q&A episode at the end of the week. So for people that want to leave us questions, I know we've got a bunch already, but if you go to Apple Podcasts, you leave us a review, you put in a question in there. It could be draft-related, free agency reaction, what have you. Drop it in there, and we'll do a Q&A answer podcast later in the week. Does that work, Nabil?
That works. We can do that.
All right, there you go. Here's your homework assignment. We'd like to give them a little homework. Buck, this is coming fast and furious. As we're recording this, it's just after 9 o'clock on the West Coast. The free agency negotiating window, I guess, whatever they phrase this thing, has opened. So it's going to be coming fast and furious with moves over the next 24 hours. Mm-hmm. But as we're recording this, we've already had a bunch of interesting moves that have taken place, including some big re-signings.
Big re-signings. I think the biggest one came down on Sunday. Ryan Tannehill getting a big bag from the Tennessee Titans to remain their long-term starter, averaging $29.5 million annually. And what it does is it enables the Tennessee Titans to continue to move in the direction that they were moving successfully at the end of the year. Ryan Tannehill played terrific football for the Tennessee Titans. Passer rating of around 117, did a great job of sparking this offense, pushed the ball to the playmakers on the outside. A.J. Brown, Corey Davis were involved, Jonnu Smith. And then when you had big Derrick Henry running the ball effectively, it just worked for the Tennessee Titans. I can understand why John Robinson and Mike Vrabel wanted to continue to kind of play this game with Ryan Tannehill, because he played so well for them. I don't think they really saw the need to go elsewhere to see if they could find someone that could upgrade their QB1 spot.
Yeah, and I got a lot of grief, a lot of gruff on social media, mm-hmm. because I was asked by Andrew Siciliano, is Ryan Tannehill a championship caliber quarterback?
Yeah.
And I did not stutter, Buck. I said, yes, he is in this system.
Absolutely.
You know, there's very few quarterbacks, and we talk about it all the time. You count them on one hand, the guys you can put in any system and any surrounding and say, oh, that championship-level quarterback. Most people at that position are dependent on their supporting cast. And the way that they built that team, the way they played football last year, I mean, they were in the championship game. You're in the AFC championship game with a lead on the Chiefs. So how can you look at the way they've played football with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback and say they can't be a championship caliber team? You add a couple pieces here and there, their brand of football, he fits. It makes sense.
It absolutely makes sense. And the reason why it makes sense is because you talked about it. The overwhelming majority of players, not just quarterbacks, of players are system players, meaning they have to be in the right system that fits their talents. What we saw in Tennessee, when Ryan Tannehill is placed in a situation where the offense is really geared to what he does really, really well, he can play at a high level. And he played at a high level in Tennessee. When you get to the championship game, I don't think there's any question whether you can say a quarterback is a championship caliber quarterback, because he got you one step away from that game. Now, did he throw the ball all over the yard in the postseason? No, but I think what we have to begin to do is separate some of the stats from how a guy plays. I think he has played the game in a winning fashion for the Tennessee Titans, that whatever their formula is, he is a perfect fit for that. And whatever you have to pay the starting quarterback, that's what you have to pay. But how they play is more important when it comes to building the team. And I think for Ryan Tannehill, he is the right guy for the job in Tennessee.
Yeah, I agree with that one. And another quarterback development, we had Kirk Cousins, who just did a two-year extension with the Minnesota Vikings, bunch of new money there. But I can't help but think that some of that is from an accounting purpose. Obviously, it's great for Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. He gets some more money in this deal, more security. But I believe that had to factor in with why they just franchised Anthony Harris, the safety, being able to move some money around a little bit, free that up.
Yeah, they were able to free that up. And I think Kirk Cousins is another example of what we talked about with Ryan Tannehill and a championship quarterback in a system. Kirk Cousins in this system, it's been proven that he can play at a high level. Gary Kubiak runs a system that is very similar to the way that Kirk Cousins thrived in Washington. It's the run game. It's the complementary play-action passing game, some of the movement-based passes that works. He has to have the supporting cast around him. They have that in Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Dalvin Cook, I believe, is one of the best running backs in football. They have all of that. And we have seen when all of that is working, Kirk Cousins plays at a very, very high level. And so a lot of people have taken shots at Kirk Cousins because of the fully guaranteed contract, and rightfully so, but that is a manipulation of the compensation system and the franchise tags. When it comes to looking at him, he is the right fit for what Gary Kubiak wants to do. It makes sense for the Minnesota Vikings to not only get some cap relief by signing him to a deal, but also keeping him in place when you know that Mike Zimmer and Gary Kubiak might be around for a while.
Yeah, I think it's a good fit. And I think Kirk Cousins getting comfortable there, I think you saw that happen. And now mm-hmm. I think he's earned the trust of those teammates. He's become a leader on that team, and you can kind of see him. I think he'll get a chance to play his best football going forward here with this team. There was a lot of pressure on him after signing that contract. I think last year, just being able to accomplish what they were able to accomplish in the postseason kind of just eased that burden a little bit there on Kirk Cousins. And I think you'll see him play like somebody who's relaxed and relieved and even take his game to another level next season. Another bit of news we had, Buck, was Calais Campbell getting traded from the Jacksonville Jaguars to the Baltimore Ravens. And this was, to me, kind of a classic Baltimore move. You know, Ozzie's not in charge anymore. Eric DaCosta is running the show, but Eric's been there under Ozzie forever. And this was just a great value. Basically, it was just you got to eat the money. And they ended up doing a new two-year contract with Calais Campbell. I think it was 2 years, $27 million. The Jags wanted to move on. It cost them a fifth-round pick they acquired by trading their backup kicker last year. Mm-hmm. So it cost them nothing. It was an incredible move there for them to get this done with Calais Campbell.
You know, DJ, when I look at this deal, it's interesting because you talk about this being a classic Baltimore move where they find value, they eat the money, but they bring on a really, really good player. And I think it's interesting because when I looked at this defense, the defense played well. Make no mistake, everyone gave Wink Martindale a ton of credit. I think he deserved a lot of credit because I think he was still playing a little shorthanded when it came to the pieces. When now you get a big body up front, and Calais Campbell, a guy who can rush the passer, a guy who's also stout versus the run. You've alluded to this. They like length up front. And so in their 3-4 yep. with these big bodies, him being a defensive end that can play the five technique and the like, it really works for them. I think on the other side, I think here's where I'm curious, because you've given up a proven commodity in Calais Campbell, who even though he was older, and you bring back a fifth-round pick. And if I'm Doug Marrone and I'm David Caldwell, I love having, like, picks. However, it seems like maybe they're on kind of like a short-term notice. Can you hit it out the park in the draft where these young players that you're bringing in enable you to win enough games to sustain yourself so you can get to 2021 and 2022 when you can do the full rebuild?
Yeah, I mean, they have a boatload of picks. And, you know, people forget not only they have a bunch of picks in this draft, they've got an extra one in next year's draft as well. I would not be surprised too if you saw them. You know, they're going to trade. I'm assuming they'll probably end up trading Yannick Ngakoue, and they'll probably get, you know, at worst a two, Buck, but hopefully you're going to get a one there. And maybe they push. I'm anxious to see if they are able to get a one for Yannick Ngakoue, if they push to get a one in this year, or if they push to get one next year, because we all know what's out there, kind of that lottery ticket that people are looking for in next year's draft at the quarterback
position. Sure. For sure. Now, this is the thing, because this is only, you know, internally, if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars organization, like, what is your long-term plan with the front office and head coaching setup that you have? Because if this is a long, drawn-out thing where you have 2 or 3 years and you've been assured, hey, these guys are going to be here for a while, we're going to let them do a rebuild, well, then you are kind of loading up the war chest to be major factors in 2021 when it comes to the quarterback class and having a little more flexibility even in this draft class. I just think it is really, really tough because you want to turn those picks into players. And how quickly will those picks turn into key contributors and players either this year and beyond? A lot of pressure on David Caldwell and those guys to get it right. Typically, they've done a really good job of drafting well, particularly in the first round, but now they got to draft well, develop them, and get them on the field and playing well right away.
No doubt. I want to get your thoughts on the Cowboys. I think, look, they ended up franchise tagging Dak Prescott. I think not getting a deal done right now is a big mistake for the Dallas Cowboys. This price is not going to go down. I think we just talked about Kirk Cousins. We just talked about Ryan Tannehill. Look where this market is headed. Wait till these big dogs come in. Wait till the Patrick Mahomes contract comes in, man. So to me, I'm looking at this saying this number right now needs to be closer to 40 than it is to 30, and people will think that's nuts. But 35, if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm not taking a penny less than $35 million a year right now.
No,
you can guess with the cap going up next year, Buck, you know where these numbers are going to go?
Man, DJ, I've had this conversation with several people. The Dallas Cowboys misplayed this the entire way. Like they should have been on the front end of the deal and just kind of eating all the criticism and the things that would have come their way, because this deal would have looked a lot smaller if they had done it last year. Just think about all the gruff that the Minnesota Vikings got with Kirk Cousins, the San Francisco 49ers got with Jimmy Garoppolo. Now look at those deals in comparison to the deals that we've since seen signed. I just think that this is a situation where the Cowboys should have been first to the table. But now what happens is, if I'm Dak Prescott and I saw Charles Woodson do this years ago, if I'm Dak Prescott, I sign the franchise tag right away, because the money is guaranteed right away when you sign it. And then the leverage goes back to the player, because if he plays well, and I expect that he's going to play well, now you talk about in 2 years, he make up to about $80 million before they even do another long-term deal if he plays on back-to-back tags. Yep. I just think it's
following
so,
Kirk Cousins, yeah.
I think it's so advantageous for him to be like, oh, okay, you know what? We're going to negotiate this. I'm going to come in. I'm going to get in here early so I can work with Mike McCarthy, make sure my game is right, and then you're going to have to pay me big, big dollars at the end of the day.
No doubt. Buck, I mean, I would say we could talk about where we think some of these guys are going to go, but by the time people listen to this, that's, a lot of that stuff probably already be decided. What were some of the other big news items we had over the weekend and into this morning that you want to hit on?
I think the big news for me, we talked about the running back situation, the way people view running backs. I think the Derrick Henry situation is interesting. By signing Ryan Tannehill, it enabled the Tennessee Titans to franchise tag Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry was the lead in rusher. Derrick Henry had 1,500 yards. Derrick Henry is an old school workhorse who has a ton of carries on him. So now if you're the Tennessee Titans, is this the way that you continue to do business? You do business with Derrick Henry on a year-by-year basis. Do you ever fork over the big money? Now, this is hard for me because I've always been an advocate for running backs and paying them. But I think from a business standpoint, we have seen, look, man, you don't have to necessarily do it with these big money guys. And if you do it on big money guys, why box yourself into these long-term deals? I hate it for the player, but if I'm Tennessee, I'm doing the franchise tag without even thinking about signing Derrick Henry to another long-term deal. If I'm smart this year, I am looking for a running back in the draft around the same spot where I found Derrick Henry. Second, third round, finding a big physical running back that can get it, I think I would do that. A.J. Dillon type, someone that can play right now, do the same things. I can let him serve as an apprentice for a year, and then – in 2021, hey, Derek, go test the market. We're going to go with the young fella. I just think that's the way you have to do it in the team building process, the way the league is set up.
Let me just put it – let's put it in real estate terms here, Buck. Rent, don't buy when it comes to running backs. You go rent, but you're not buying. You might sign a 3-year lease, Buck. Maybe a four, maybe even a 5-year lease.
Yes.
I'm not getting into a 15-year fixed, not a 30-year fixed. No, I'm not buying. I'm renting on that position.
And I think that's it, because DJ, if you're an executive, we have enough information to know that the last handful of running backs that were signed, the production hasn't matched the compensation. I will say this. Zeke Elliott played pretty well last year, even though he wasn't in shape. He had 1,300 rushing yards. He signed his big deal. But for everyone else that we talk about, the Todd Gurley's, the David Johnsons, the Le'Veon Bell's, they didn't necessarily play to the number. And so rather than get stuck having someone on a large number for a while, hey, year to year, it's easy to carve it out this year and then deal with next year, as opposed to really stretching yourself out and being married to somebody that maybe you don't want to be married to.
No doubt. All right, Buck. Interesting to see. I'm just checking literally Twitter as we go here, and it's just – it's amazing. You're seeing all the teams, the interest in all these players, and I don't know where people are at on this. I know some people are uncomfortable, and you hear the word optics about all this stuff happening amid everything that's going on in the world right now. But see, I'll be honest with you, the more I kind of think I like it, and I know that maybe rubs some people the wrong way. I think it's a nice little escape for everybody. We've been inundated with so much news, and we're paying attention. We're being cautious and doing the right things on that front, Buck. But this is – we're all in our homes. Everybody's in their home right now. This is giving somebody something to look at. Can I just give you one idea here as we kind of wrap this one up?
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be great when you think about all this money that's being transferred to some of these players. If during this time we had owners and even some of these players who were getting these big cash windfalls to take some of this and invest it in their communities who right now are going through a difficult time, I would love to see that.
I
know some people seeing all this money change hands. I think that would be a really cool thing.
Yeah, I think that is the major play. And I think the way that you broke it down is absolutely perfect, because it has to be a player and owner thing. I think we have seen that in the NBA. We've seen some players give money to the arena workers to make sure that they're able to sustain themselves during this time. We've seen ownership partner up with some of the players in situations and do that. I think in the National Football League, it would be a great time to do that, because I do believe it is in the best interest of the National Football League to kind of let the league year play out the way it's playing out, because there's nothing else that is going on. So you get to dominate the headlines for a while. And it is a nice diversion from what we are seeing with the virus. And really, kind of like the chaos that we're seeing exist in the world, this has been able to kind of relieve that. We're having different conversations. But yes, the human side, the humanitarian side of the league certainly should encourage players and owners to inject themselves in the community and see what they can do to make it better for others.
Yeah, something I know J.J. Watt, I think, has already done that.
Yes.
I think it was $350,000 that he's put out there. So anyways, it's a unique time right now for all of us. So I do appreciate you guys listening to the show here. Hopefully this can give you a little bit of joy as we go through. I know we did the first round mock draft via Twitter the other day. We haven't forgot about the second round. I know we were planning on doing that, but with free agency getting started, we wanted to let that play out a little bit, and then how about we just do a brand new one, Buck? A
brand new
first round, and then we take that on into the second round at some point in time here soon.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. I think that's the best way to do it. We got free agency that's going to pop in the next few days. After it settles, that first wave of free agency, maybe we revisit it with a two-round mock and really blow it out, all the bells and whistles.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us today. A little abbreviated pod here. Hope you guys have enjoyed that. Lots of news around the NFL, which means we'll be back very shortly here with another pod where we can update you on what's taking place. Thank you so much for listening. He's Bucky Brooks. I'm Daniel Jeremiah. We'll catch you next time right here on Move the Sticks.